Welcome to the Cool Tools Show. I'm Mark Frauenfelder, Editor-in-Chief of Cool Tools, a website of tool recommendations written by our readers. You can find us at cool-tools.org. I'm joined by my co-host, Kevin Kelly, founder of Cool Tools. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, it's great to be here.
In each episode of the Cool Tools Show, Kevin and I talk to a guest about some of his or her favorite uncommon and uncommonly good tools they think others should know about. Our guest this week is Jesse Janay. Jesse is the co-founder and CEO of Lumi, which helps e-commerce brands manage their custom packaging. Before that, she was the creator of a DIY product called IncoDye, which launched on Kickstarter. She's been an entrepreneur for 10 years and lives in Los Angeles. Hey, Jesse, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, thank you.
It's such a great to have you back here sharing with us some of your favorite tools.
I know, it's been a few years since I was on.
Yeah, and so your first tool has an intriguing name, Bite Tooth Paste Bits. I have no idea what that means, but I want you to tell me about it.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued by this. I discovered this earlier this year, and it's actually a fairly new company. But they're really they're reinventing what toothpaste basically is. So all of us are used to toothpaste being in a tube. That form factor feels sort of like unquestioned in a way. And they've created these little tablets that you come in a glass vial as opposed to, you know, a tube. So much more efficient in terms of like how they ship and how much space they take up. And you just put one in your mouth with a little bit of water and chew on it as you brush. And it gives you like the same experience. Like you've got that same level of grit and, you know, mintiness or whatever you want. They have a couple different versions. And I just think it's a really fun way to reduce like plastic as well as like I actually really enjoy the experience.
That's so I'm looking at it. Is it like it looks like a little glass jar with a metal cap. It looks like kind of an old fashioned apothecary prescription or something with pills in it. And so you're saying you like open this thing up and you like pop a pill into your mouth and chew it up and then you brush your teeth with it.
Correct. Yeah. And so you literally do not need your toothpaste anymore. It like completely, so like one, it's just like so efficient. Like one little tablet is the same as like, you know, a whole dose of like toothpaste on your toothbrush. And I find them to be really amazing for travel. So like if you hear this and you're not sure if you're ready to like completely change all of your life rituals from your normal toothpaste, this is a great thing to have for travel because like it can't explode in your bag. TSA doesn't hassle you about it. It's like just kind of convenient for that if that's like it's a way of trying it out.
Oh yeah, I'm totally sold on that aspect alone because you're limited in, you know, the size of liquid you can bring on, and it's normal tube of toothpaste is over 3 ounces. And so then you have to hunt down those little tiny tubes.
Totally.
I never have those. So
no, exactly. And then those are even more wasteful. Like I'm not the best at, you know, reducing plastic overall, but when you think about like now you've got these like tiny toothpaste tubes and it's like kind of an egregious amount of like packaging for what goes into all of that. Another thing is like every tablet is like an entire brushing's worth of experience, right? So like if you're traveling, like you could just put a few tablets into a tiny little baggie and now it's like super tiny. So I like traveling really light. And so sometimes I'll just take a few tablets, like I'll be gone for 3 days and you literally need 6 tablets, you know?
That's so cool. Really? Yeah.
How about the cost?
I don't know that off the top of my head, but I guess this is where I'm not like the most cost centric on something like that. Does anyone have it open?
You get it like as a subscription. I think that's what they're pushing. And I think it's like $7 a month.
Subscription. Okay.
$7.50 per month.
Yeah. You get that whole tub, and the tub has 60 tablets, which is like 60 for two per day for a month. So, so $7.50, I mean, I'm sure someone else could math it out. Like, I'm sure there's some other toothpaste like that you can get, but I mean, I don't know, you know, if you buy the like Crest and Colgate's like toothpaste of the world, like, you know, it's like Crest and Colgate, like plus like Spearmint plus like some other insane, like new, like gel technology they invented. And it's expensive. Like a regular toothpaste are expensive. So I think that this is at least like a swapsies of like one for one on cost, if not savings, I would guess, but I'd have to research that more.
Yeah. I think that's I mean, just the travel aspect alone, I'm sold on it. That's a really cool pick.
Yeah. So I've been enjoying that. And I like things that kind of make me challenge some of my rituals. And this fits into that bucket.
Yeah. Okay. So the next one you have is kind of a crafty related thing called pumpkin punchers.
Right.
You like punching pumpkins?
So pumpkin punchers. So like a big shift. So pumpkin punchers are not part of my daily daily ritual, and the same that bite toothpaste bits is. But this is this falls into the category of products that I sometimes discover as an adult, where I like really question all of the decisions that my parents made growing up. So like, I don't know if everyone else's experience of pumpkin carving, but this is a pumpkin carving tool. And if anyone else was like me, like your parents handed you like this really dull, like serrated blade and were like, you can make a jack-o'-lantern. And you're like, I don't know, can I? Like, I have like tiny hands and this is like a dull blade and I'm cutting a gourd, you know? Basically pumpkin punchers are already like, think of them as like cookie cutters, but they're in the shape of like jack-o'-lantern face shapes that you might want. And you just put them over the pumpkin. You have to already have scooped it out, so that part's standard. And then you like pound them in. I don't have kids, but my boyfriend now has kids, and we do activities like this with them. And so I've seen like little hands like trying to do things, and this strikes me as just like an ingenious idea, and something that I've enjoyed using, because now you can take people who are younger and they can actually make, you know, jack-o'-lanterns that they're proud of. So I've really enjoyed using these.
So just cool. To describe for people, so it's just like cookie cutters that you stamp into the rind of the pumpkin, and you are, instead of carving them out, you're punching
them out. Correct. Yeah. And so you kind of like, you know, so there's still participative like action to it, you know, like you pound them in kind of with like a little rubber mallet, and you punch them out, and you still have to scoop the pumpkin out yourself, but it is like a cookie cutter for the actual pumpkin surface. And it just strikes me as like so obvious as like a good idea compared to like trying to just use that serrated blade to make interesting shapes. It's fun.
Yeah, it looks cool. So the next one you have is something that's called Joy Mode. I don't know what that is.
You haven't heard of this? Okay. No. So Joy Mode is, this is a online service. So it's like joymode.com is the website you go to. And this is a tool for me in the sense that from Joy Mode, you can rent experience things. You can rent objects that you can then, that are like for experiences in your life. So to make it concrete, like you can rent like a bunch of big pool floaties and have like a pool party, and then, but you're just renting them, and you subscribe to Joy Mode monthly, and you can rent as many things, like as many experiences as you want in that month. It's in certain markets, so you have to check if it's available in your city, but things that I've rented are like giant Jenga, like, you know, like I'll have a party and I want to have giant Jenga, but like I do not need to own giant Jenga. I live in downtown LA. Like there is no place to then like store my giant Jenga. I rented, maybe the most fun weird one is like I wanted to have a crawfish boil. And like, so they have the big like propane like pot that you need. Again, this is something that would be like $300 on Amazon or something, and you might just buy it out of like pressure of like, oh, I really want to have this crawfish boil. And then you now have like that big giant propane pot for the rest of your life. So it's what I like about it is it opens up new experiences for a lower financial price point. And then also I think fits into the culture of like, you know, using things as opposed to needing to own every single thing that you want to try. So I like those things about it a lot.
So it's kind of like renting items. Is that what it is?
Yeah. It's renting like lifestyle items. So all of the, they literally call them experiences. So like crawfish boil is like an experience, and it comes not just with the pot, but it comes with the bibs and like other accessories you might want. And they literally drop off those items at your house, and then usually have them for like a 2 or 3 day rental period. And then they pick that stuff back up. So like another experience is like Nerf gun fight is an experience. And so like, instead of, you know, trying to budget your Nerf gun fight and being like, I don't know, maybe I'll buy a cheap Nerf gun on Amazon and see how that goes. They'll show up with like the really amazing Nerf guns that you like wouldn't have bought yourself, and then pick them up 2 days later after you Nerf gunned your friends.
That's cool. So
that makes, yeah.
You don't have to drive anywhere and get something. They deliver it to you.
Right. And you get to try it out without having to purchase it. So that's perfect.
That's good. So I see like they have food related ones. I wonder if they have like those high end ice cream makers. I've always been wanting to try one.
They
of
have
those,
a pasta. They have a, I saw they have a pasta maker. So they might have ice cream or like other things that I think are really kind of like, they also have basic things. Like, I think there's something called like the dinner party experience or something. And so like, if you are a college student and you have like three cups or whatever, and that's your lifestyle, you don't need more than three cups, then like, but you want to have friends over, they'll like show up with like, you know, a set of like 10 plates and like 10 of everything. And then you have your dinner party and then you just, they just take it back. So instead of like over buying for what you want to do that weekend, you can just rent it. And I just think that's like a really beautiful concept, especially for people's personal finances. Like, you know, you shouldn't need to drop like $400 to have your friends over or whatever.
Yeah. This is so cool. So they do have an ice cream maker. And so it's like $25 and you get a container to hold the ice cream that you make. And then this really nice high-end, you know, refrigerated ice cream maker that you would normally pay hundreds of dollars for. So you could like try it out. And if you, I mean, if you loved it, you could end up buying it. Right. But otherwise, this is cool. I love it.
They have home karaoke. They've got backyard movie night. Cool.
Oh, yeah. Fun. I love this one.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I think it really speaks to how, like, especially more city dwellers are kind of like thinking about things. Because we all want to try all of this stuff. Like, I would love to try making ice cream, but the thing that would make me not try it is the fact that I don't think I'm committed enough to that activity to drop the, like, whatever, $300 or $400 on a nice ice cream maker, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So many of us default to like, not doing something or buying the really inexpensive version to try it out. And then we don't like it because like the cheap version wasn't cool anyway. But that's like a catch 22.
Here's another one is sous vide cooking, which is a lot of equipment that you probably would want to kind of try once before you committed to it.
I think there's like some camping stuff, like all of those.
Bed hacks.
Yeah.
With like including like a 2-person tent. The table set, walking pole, $45 for like a nice high-end backpack.
This Isn't that nice?
Really nice, yeah.
Because they're going to have to clean it afterwards, so you have to do that.
This is so good.
Yeah.
Or like even waffles. Like this is, I was looking at waffle makers the other day. I don't even know. But it's like waffle makers, like, you know, and I don't know how you both like online shop, but like, at first I'm just looking and then I'm like, what's the most insane waffle maker that exists in humanity? And then you're like, all of a sudden you're like looking at an $800 waffle maker and you're like, what am I doing? I don't even know if I like waffles. And so, it's like, so I think that this really satiates my need to like try things.
Great.
That's so good. Yeah. And you don't have to own, it's great not having to own stuff and store it and maintain it and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It could be a huge money saver and good experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
Excellent pick.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So let's see. So what's another one on your list?
So this fourth one is a little bit more, you know, back to basics, kind of more running by toothpaste picks. But I've been thinking a lot about my daily rituals and this is another one. This is facial rounds that are machine washable. And the brand I picked here is Marley's Monsters version of that, but effectively replacing your cotton rounds, like, you know, you're actually like kind of cotton ball style rounds that people use to like wash their face and like do things for personal hygiene with these machine washable ones. They're really nice. What I like about them is that they're better quality than those ones that we buy from, you know, the drugstore and throw out constantly. And so it's a twofer where like, I actually enjoy using them a lot more and I never have to buy more of them because I can just throw them in my washing machine. And so those fit into a really cool bucket for me of like, it really just ought to be like that. It's just a really better experience and product.
And these are for removing makeup and things like that.
All the bathroom stuff. Yeah. Like all the kind of personal hygiene stuff that you would do with like a cotton ball. And I'm sure you could also do like other projects or like things, whatever you would use like a cotton round for, like really kind of buffing something out or whatever. But they're really, there's the pattern ones and the white ones. And so the pattern ones hold, make it less obvious when you're getting them dirty and stuff. So you could use them for other things too. And they come with their own little mesh bag for washing them so that you don't like lose them in your washing machine because they're little. But I just think that this like direction of kind of products is just really cool and something I'm personally getting a lot of enjoyment out of because I don't have to buy as many things. Like every month there's like less things that are like in my shopping cart that I'm like running out of. I'm trying to avoid things that I run out of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
That's good.
Yeah.
So that's mesh great. Laundry bag and facial round set.
Yeah.
It's $26 and you get 20 of the facial rounds.
Yeah. And then like
how many times can you use them before they.
Oh, I've been using them for over a year and I don't need more. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. like just kind of sort of infinite. I mean, I'm sure at some point, like everything breaks down, but like, mm-hmm. But definitely it's more likely in my life that I lose them before like they are gone bad, you know? Yeah.
Sure. So, Jesse, when we talked to you last time, your company Lumi was mainly selling your amazing Inco dye, which was a way to transfer images onto fabrics.
Yeah.
And is Inco dye still around?
Inco dye is still a product that you can go online and buy. We don't manufacture it anymore. So that stuff is kind of like dead stock actually. Plenty of people still use it and like, converse with us about it, but no, we're no longer manufacturing it.
Oh, okay. Okay. But Louis, though, you've done a complete pivot, and now it's a pretty big, much bigger than Inco dye Louis was. You're selling like really cool looking packaging for small businesses who want to ship products, right? I mean, so you go to Lumi.com and I'm looking at these beautiful boxes that look kind of like a Keith Haring design or something. All sorts of different things. To tell us about like what the transition was, how this happened and what you're doing now.
it's probably a crazy story of how it happened. I've like had a very circuitous life path of learning of business ideas and then moving forward. But to put it in a nutshell, from my co-founder, Stefan, and I running our own business, which was Inco dye and like launching a product on Kickstarter and taking it to market, we realized that one of the hardest components of running that business was sourcing and managing all of the physical stuff that we needed to ship the product that wasn't the product. Like we were experts in the fabric dye, and so we knew how to make that, and that was important for us. But making the bottles and making the custom boxes and making the retail packaging and making the sticker labels and all of these components that we had to also make in order to get the product to market turned into the much bigger headache for us. So we took that insight and we built a new Lumi.com. And yes, we work with brands all over the country. And some of our large brands now ship millions of units a year. Our small brands are, shipping, are just getting started. But we handle all of that custom packaging. And I think that's what makes me particularly passionate about some of the stuff I talked about here with you today, because I'm like, people might assume because we sell packaging, I want the world to use more packaging, but it's sort of the opposite. I do have a heart that's not how I think about it. Like the more efficient packaging utilization gets, like the better off we all are. And the reality is like the world's using an insane amount of packaging, like as it stands, it behooves us all to optimize it. So I think that's really actually at the core of Lumi as well.
I think like one of the best ways for people to see what Lumi is about now is your Instagram.
We've got some good stuff on there. Yeah. And also we do some like cool stories where we show behind the box where you can like see a brand fulfilling their own packaging, like how does it get put together. I also do I do some YouTube stuff where I unbox brands, and I don't know how familiar you are with like all the unboxing like crazes.
Sure.
Okay. So basically I do my own variant on that, which I literally call the show Unboxing Things, and I unbox a brand, but I only talk about the box. I'm like, here's everything you need to know about this box. And how this brand chose to put it together. Is it one color printing? Is it two? Is it recycled? Isn't it? Can you recycle the components? Like I just break down everything about the packaging. So that's my like fun, geeky variant on unboxing shows.
And can you tell from, say, a box, by looking at it, can you tell by now, like, the kind of cardboard that it's made from, where it's made, maybe, I mean, are there varieties of cardboard? Do you get into that kind of stuff?
100%. Yeah. I'll talk about the BMC, the box maker certificate on the bottom of the box tells you a lot of that information. You gotta look at your BMC and decode your decode your information down there. You can tell a lot of that. We, based on different labels on the box, we can tell what kind of paper pulp it was made out of, whether it's a like chain of custody paper pulp, like an FSC or something, and you can actually know, or whether it's not, you know, which it not being isn't always bad, but you can tell all of that. The other thing I do is I've got a flute identifier card with like different serrated edges, and so I can, you know, on the show I'll tell you whether it's like a B flute or a C flute, which is the different the thicknesses of corrugate have different flute names. So we go into all of that.
Really. So I once saw a book that, whose name I've forgotten, and it was giving patterns for, you know, die cutting cardboard that could be folded up into all different kinds of boxes from a single sheet. And I kind of at that moment realized, oh, there's a whole sub, you know, discipline here of figuring out how you make a box from a single piece of cardboard.
100%
without glue or whatever.
I would call that packaging engineering. We on our Lumi team now, we have 3 full-time packaging engineers. It's a degree. You can get a degree. They have bachelors of science in packaging engineering specifically. There's 2 schools in the country that are churning out packaging engineers specifically. And it's actually becoming a more in-demand thing in the age of e-commerce. Like packaging is becoming more of a pressing engineering need.
Wow. So is there like a good, well, like let's say somebody is doing a Kickstarter round and they're going to ship something and they don't know anything about packaging engineering. And maybe they can't necessarily afford to hire a consultant. Is there kind of a good resource as a starting point for do-it-yourself packaging engineering?
So this hopefully doesn't come across as too shameless of a plug, but basically there isn't great holistic information about packaging out there. And that's one of the reasons we put a lot of effort into some of our content. The thing there was something that I did in the first couple years of the business. And it's a show actually we stopped doing. I focus on unboxing things now, but I did this other one called, it was literally just called Shipping Things, where I would break down more concepts holistically. Like I would do an overview of everything you ought to know if you're considering using a poly mailer, which is those plastic bags as opposed to boxes, or all the alternatives to printed boxes. Like you could do printed tape instead, which is way cheaper, than printing the box itself. So I did these like kind of overview shows where it's like that really help you understand what your options are. And a lot of the options for when you're doing a Kickstarter and you might not have the budget for like custom printed boxes or something are the alternatives, like custom labels on a box or custom printed tape instead of custom printed boxes. So I think that I honestly, if I could think of another resource that was like really good, I would point people to that. But we sort of couldn't find one. It's one of the reasons we created some of our stuff.
Well, if you could make sure we have that link, we'll put that into the show notes for people to start with.
For sure.
That's really great.
Yeah, so cool, Jesse. Yeah. I love that you took something that you had, you know, kind of hard-won lessons, and now you're helping other people with that.
Yeah, it's been a fun process.
I could almost sort of imagine a walk through a street, a decision tree or something, where you could, for the do-it-yourselfers of the world, or the beginners, you could kind of lead them way through in a, you know, like a forking path or something. I'm not sure how these things work, but there could be a kind of an interactive way in which all the Kickstarters of the world and the others who are starting businesses could have some of these complicated answers and guidance in an interactive way. That seems to be the direction you're headed, and maybe someday we'll get there.
Totally. Yeah, I think that there's a lot of options, and definitely the packaging world is something where it's deceiving, it's deceivingly complex. Like people look at a box and are like, oh, it's a box, and therefore it doesn't get a lot of attention, especially when a product's in development. It's like, oh, I'll develop the product. That's the hard part. And then later I'll figure out the packaging. And I totally get it, like as a rational person, why that would be the MO. But then it's deceivingly complex in the sense that once you get into it, it's its own engineered item. Like there's literally infinite options, infinite, you know, processes that you could put together to make it. So kind of interesting stuff.
Yeah. Well, great. I'm glad you're on the case.
Cool. Exactly. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much, Jesse. It's been great hearing about these tools. Great to hear about what you're up to. And I'm really excited about that service. What's it called? The one
Joy
that,
Mode.
Joy. Yeah, that's cool. I'm definitely going to try that out.
Awesome. Glad to hear it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
Hey, everybody. It's your co-host, Mark. And I wanted to let you know that we have a lot more going on here in Cool Tools than just this podcast. We have our flagship website where we review a new tool every day. That's at cool-tools.org. We also have 4 different newsletters. We have this podcast. We have a YouTube channel where we review tools. And if you like what you hear and see and read, the best way to help us out is by going to our Patreon page at patreon.com/cooltools and donate at any level you wish. You can even contribute $1 a month, and that would mean a lot to us. The money that you give us will go towards paying for our transcribing costs, editing videos, and editing the podcast. It goes towards paying contributors who write the reviews for us. It goes towards our equipment costs, our hosting costs, and it supports our very small company of 3 people. This week, I wanted to give a shout out to some of our Patreon supporters who have been giving us at least $2 a month. And if you give us $2 a month, we'll give you a shout out online. And this week, I would like to thank Michael Sacochia, Molly Starr, M. Velderman, Opposable Thumbs, Pamela Cooley, Patrick Weyer, Paul Hosey, Randy Fisher, Stuart Burroughs Brand, Synaptic Sam, Therese Schwartz, Tom Hawkins, Tom Markham, What Bear, Javier Pangolin, David Lang, Eric Byers, Sean Hartley, Stephen Powell, Greg Lichtscheidt, John Hobson, Adam Bristol, Adam Naher, Anonymous, Bill Kempthorne, Bruce I. Niles, Chris Woodruff, C. Kolos, Daryl Flynn, Egg Fleegoff, Eric Hanschrau, Eric Hoover, Godfrey Saldana, Jay Skiles, John M. Larson, Jude Galligan, Kenneth Gilman, and Lucas Frank. Thank you very much for supporting the show, and we will see you next week.